This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
He will water you. He'll put water in your dry places. He said, if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. Remember the woman at the well? She met Jesus. She met her Boaz. Oh, my God. And Jesus said, give me something to drink. She said, well, if I wasn't here with this, how are you going to get something to drink? Jesus said, if you would ask me to drink, I'd give you water that you never thirst again. And so when we look at this, this woman was being protected. She met her Boaz. She met, it's a picture of us meeting Christ. Look at this. He says, we got to understand that the Spirit, the Bible said that we can't even come to God unless the Spirit do what? Draw us. The Spirit has to lead us to the place where we need to be in order to meet Jesus. Naomi drawed her to the place where she needed to be. And so happened they were in Bethlehem in Judea. He says in verse 10, and then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Why have I found grace? She bowed herself, and that was a form of worship. And that's what the church, that's what we were supposed to worship Jesus. And we don't understand why. We have no clue why we find grace in the sight of God. I don't know why he loves me like he do, but he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for a friend. He said that scarcely will one die for the righteous. Amen. But look at us. While we were yet sinners, he died for the ungodly. We met our boy as Jesus is the husband of the church. And if we're led of the Spirit, we'll always go to him. Look at what happened here. She worshiped, or she fell down, and she said, why did I find grace, and how come you took knowledge of me, seeing that I am a stranger? We were all strangers unto him. We were alienated from him. But he took knowledge of us and saw that we needed something. And so he looked beyond our faults. Her fault was that she was born a Moabitess. She was born a foreigner. She was born a stranger, somebody who wasn't in line for an inheritance. We were not in line for an inheritance. We were born strangers to him. We were born Gentiles. I wish I had somebody. We are basically, all of us in here, we are hybrids. Because we're a mixture of whatever was here in America and whatever was brought to America. And so that would make us strangers to him because we're not purebred. But he still loves us in spite of our flesh. And so, oh, that's what happened here. She had a flesh that would not have allowed her to become a person that would inherit anything in Judea, anything in Israel. They would not have an inheritance because of her flesh. And because of our flesh, we would not inherit the things of God. But thank God that we inherited through the Spirit of God. After she talked to Boaz, he answered, said unto her, it had fully been showed me. Boy, look at this. He got a vision, a man of vision. All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law, the death of thine husband, and how thou have left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. Now, he says, now I understand all the stuff that's happened to you. I already know. You know, we can talk to the Lord, and she asks why. And the Lord, we sometimes ask him why, but the Lord already knows the things that we've gone through. Amen. He already knows. Boaz already knew everything about her. Now, Boaz asked the men, who is this damsel, but he had already heard about her. Amen. All right. Then let's go on. He says, verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord of Israel, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He says, the reason why I'm doing this is because the Lord put it on me to do. It is because it's the payment for your faithfulness to your mother-in-law. The payment for you fulfilling the commitment that you made to her to follow her no matter what. And that's what we got to get to the point. God will bless you if you make that commitment. God will bless you if you say, I'm going to follow no matter what. Amen. And she did that. Now, you got to understand something. She was gleaning not just for herself, but she was going to take it back to Naomi to make sure Naomi had what she needed. Amen. And so he was saying, look, I'm going to bless you because you're not a selfish person. You're a selfless person. You left your father, your mother, your native country, and you came among strangers just to be faithful. Faithfulness will pay off. I wish I had some help today. Faithfulness will pay off if we stay with it. Amen. And look, he says that, and God, whose wings you're trusting on, that we got to trust God's wing. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. She already did. For thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaiden, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. I'm different, but you still love me. I'm not like anybody else, and you still comforted me. I've been through some stuff, and I'm not the person like other people, but you still spoke to me, spoke friendly unto me. Amen. Now, that sounds like Jesus. When everybody else want to talk ugly to you and talk ugly about you, amen. But Jesus talks good to you and has favor for you. Amen. And look, he says, and Boaz in verse 14 said unto her, at mealtime, now it get deeper. At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Now, the thing about this is that she got more than she asked for. Only because of her faithfulness, and somebody decided that they wanted to make sure that she got blessed because of her faithfulness. Amen? Amen. Verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose. That's something else there. For her, and leave them, and she may glean them and not rebuke, and rebuke her not. Amen. So she gleaned the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now look at this here. Look at this. He told them, he said, now after he done fed her, he says, now you make sure to the young men that you let her come to the sheaves, the good stuff. And if she wants some of that, let her get it. Ain't that something? Now she was getting scraps and happy with that. I'm going somewhere. And when she was happy with that, he decided to bless her with something to fill her for the day. And then turned around and blessed her for some good stuff for later on. The thing about God is that when we become content with whatever he gave us, even if it looked like scraps, then God sees our heart and blesses us. And he sees the gratefulness of our heart. And then he turns around and blesses us, and he gives us our daily bread. That's what she got. Dip your morsel, your bread in the vinegar. That's what she got, a daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And so she got that, and then turned around, and he says, not to her, but he told somebody else, let her. Now, God may not say it to you, because you might get all messed up. Because some people, when God say, I'm going to bless you with something, they want to go out and tell people, they can't stop me. They get prideful. God said, nah. I dare anybody to try to stop it. That's not why God lets you know what he has for you. But when God doesn't tell you, and then you get it, then that's when you want to fall out. You know, she fell out and start worshiping. But that's when you can appreciate it, when God doesn't tell you that it's coming. You know, we know some things coming because we know they're coming in the mail. But what about when you get something that you don't expect? That's what she got. God is in the business of blessing you with things that you don't expect to have. Oh, Lord, help these people today to realize that you got something for them, Jesus. Now, to make the long story short, we got to see here where the Bible says that then after this, in the next chapter, we find out that Naomi talks to Ruth and says that, yeah, Boaz is my kinfolk, but there's one closer kin than Boaz. But Boaz, God has put it in his heart that he need to take care of this. Amen. And so what happens now is that Boaz go to the gate of the city and says to his cousin and say, look, we both kin to her, but you closer kin. So really, everything that he have belongs to you. But you got to take the woman. She a Moabitess. Now, he didn't want her. He said, now, I'll take the field, but I don't want the woman. Boaz said, wait a minute. You got to take everything that belongs to him, including the unclean or the person, you know, they would deem a person not clean to them. You know, they were foreigners. So you got to take her too. And he said, wait a minute. I got enough. You go ahead. And he called some witnesses, 10 witnesses, and they sat there and he loosed his shoe and he gave it to him. And that was a testimony to let them know that in Leviticus it talks about if a man does not raise up children to his brother after his brother's died, doesn't take his wife, or the next of kin doesn't take the wife and raise up children, then you're supposed to loose his shoe and make him barefooted. Amen? And that was a testimony against him that he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And so he did that, and he gave his shoe to Boaz and said, now you do it. And Boaz said, I'll gladly do it. Now, the one thing about this, if you read it, he says Boaz went to redeem the property that belonged to his cousin. He went to redeem the property that belonged to the next of kin. If we look at this, we got to see Jesus all in it. What did Jesus come to do? He came to redeem the property that really belonged to Adam, the next of kin. Amen. He came to redeem that property. We could not be redeemed ourselves. We couldn't redeem ourselves. He had to come and redeem us. That's why we got to understand what happened here. And I'm going to show you something that it may not excite you, but it excited me. And I was in the shower. I was just happy when it hit me the way it hit me. Now, remember I just told you the cousin came and he took off his shoe, right? Now, the Bible says that John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, the one that come to redeem his people. He said, whose shoe I'm not worthy to unloose. So in other words, Jesus wasn't going to be like the others. Jesus was saying, I'm not going to let you. See, the priest would come and take the shoe off of the person who wouldn't redeem his brother's children and property and wouldn't raise up a seed unto his brother. Now, Jesus said, I've come to raise up a seed. And so I know that my brother Adam is dead. But I'm, oh my God, today. But I'm going to make sure I raise up a seed to my brother. So you can't make me barefooted out here. Oh, come on and say amen. And so we don't have a house full of barefoot men. We have people who will raise up seed unto our brother Jesus. That's our part now to do. And so what we got to see here is that when you're redeemed by someone that cares, someone that loves, someone that has a plan for you. Someone, look, when Boaz brought up Ruth, he was letting him know because Ruth names means, her name is friendship. He was letting them know that you got to be in some kind of relationship with this woman in order for you to have the possessions. Oh, Lord. You got to be able to get in the church in order for you, amen, to have the possession and the inheritance that belonged to you because of who you were a spouse to. And so since that happened, he said, I don't want no part of that. Boaz took it, and Boaz redeemed the field, and he married Ruth. And she got everything that was destined to be hers in the beginning. We got to see something. There's 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's what Jesus said. He said that one go out and sow a seed. He said there's 30, 60, and 100 fold. Didn't he say it? And so what happened with Ruth is this. There's got to be more all the time. There's got to be more. She went out and gleaned the field. Then she met Boaz, and he gave her the best of the field. And then she married Boaz and got the whole field. All I'm saying is that if we make a commitment to God, then we don't have to gleam no more. We get the best, but we don't have to worry about the best because all of the field belongs to us. Oh, come on and say amen. And no longer are you gleaming. No longer are you trying to go out and work it, but God said you got people working for you to bring you what belongs to you. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so since we are married to Boaz, since we're married to Jesus, the church is espoused to Christ the King. He's the wealthy man that redeemed us. I'm so glad that he brought us from the wicked man. I'm so glad that he brought us and took us and purchased us. Amen. We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. And are you glad tonight that you've been bought with a price? Are you glad tonight that you represent Ruth? Ruth means friendship. And so Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, no man tell his servants what they're going to do, but he tells his friends. She was a servant at one point. She went, uncovered his feet, laid down by him. Amen. Got close to him. I wish I had somebody. And when she did that, she became more than just a servant. She became a friend, and a friend became a wife. I wish I had somebody. And so when the church becomes a wife, when the church realizes who she's a spouse to, then we can truly say what Proverbs 31 say, a virtuous woman, who would know her price? We always try to say that about women individuals, but that scripture is truly about the church. Oh, come on. Her price is far above rubies. And look, her husband is known at the gate, amen, because of her. She works with her hands, and her children call her blessed. That is the church, and we got to know how to be the church instead of playing the church or trying to act like the church. We need to get back to being the church. All Ruth did was be Ruth. She was faithful. She was kind. She was a friend to Naomi and a faithful daughter-in-law who followed the instructions of her mother-in-law and ended up in the place where she met her Boaz rather than some bozo that would have done her some harm. Then it says that she married him and had a son. If you read this text, it says in verse 16 of chapter 4, and Naomi, you see it, took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse to it. That's why God showed me that Naomi represents the Holy Spirit. Because who nurses the church? She nursed him, nourished him, gave him the sincere milk. Who gives us a word? The Bible says that we ought to desire, we talked about this Sunday, the sincere milk of the word. Amen? The pure milk. Not Enfamil and Prosobi and Similac, but the sincere milk, the real deal. Amen? And look, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, Obed, who happens to be the father of Jesse, who happened to be the father of David. God has a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan for you. And his plan is of prosperity and of peace. We need to know that. And they gave him a name. The women did. The neighbors. They knew about this child. They wanted to be a part of this child's life. Amen. When we give birth to what God intends for us, when we become intimate with Jesus Christ, then people will want to be a part of the life of the growing church, the church that's multiplying. When that happens, then that which is nourished grows and gives birth. That's the whole picture here. There has to be a connection. No one is an island. We have to be connected. Boaz and Ruth gave birth to Obed. Obed got married, gave birth to Jesse. Jesse gave birth to David. And you have to be connected to a father. There's no renegades. Amen. There's no children born in God without a father. Amen. So he's saying you have to be begotten. Jesus is the only begotten son. But then he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. A son has to be born. We got to get past this gender stuff because there's neither male nor female in the body of Christ. A son only is a son because he has an inheritance. That's why the Bible uses the word son. It's not about gender. It's about what you get when you come to know him, what you inherit. You inherit God. The Holy Spirit comes in your life. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 through 5 says, then David came to Nob and Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid of them at meeting David, and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto him, Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me business, David told Ahab, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants such and such a place. Now, therefore, what is under thine hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in the manner of common. Yet, though it was sanctified on this day in the vessel. Well, let's go on. Let's see. I'm sorry. I was reading chapter 22, verse 1. And therefore, I was going to talk about how David got to this point in chapter 22. David's running from Saul. He stops at the house of God, asks for some bread, and he gets it. Amen. From the priest, bread. And David departed, chapter 22, verse 1. And he went and he escaped. Look at this. Saul got after him. He escaped to Adullam. When his brethren, his father's house, heard it, they went down thither to him. And look at this, verse 2. And everyone that was distressed, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So now he's on the run. He's having trouble, but he finds himself in a cave. His father's house goes down to him, who they were supposed to be tax-free because of David killing Goliath, but Saul took back the promise of him being tax-free, and all of them in debt now, all of them discontented, all of those that were distressed, they left and they found David and came to him, and he became a captain. All right. Verse 3 says, and David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, because he was related to them by Ruth. And he says, let my father, my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt there a while. And David was in the hold, H-O-L-D, in the cave, the place of protection. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hole, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came hither forth to Hareth. In other words, what happened here, the part that I wanted to bring out from that scripture is this. David was distressed. David was discontented. David was discouraged. He was on the run. He was struggling with what God had said because he had already been anointed king. He had been, a song was written about David because he was so great. Saul is kin's 1,000, but David his 10,000. And David said, if I'm all of this, how is it that I'm on the run and I've been good to this man and he's trying to kill me? He had been a friend to him and now all of a sudden he's trying to kill me. I was armor bearer who protected him and he's trying to kill me. And then I'm on the run. I have no place to go. I'm hiding in a cave. But then Gad speaks up, a prophet, and says, don't stay here in the cave, but go down to Judah. When you're distressed, when you're discontented, when you're going through your trial, don't stay in the cave. Go to Judah. When you're distressed, I want to be in my bed. I want to be in my house. I want to be in the hold. I don't want to find myself fooling and dealing with other people. I'm satisfied by myself. I don't need nobody else as long as I got King Jesus. I don't need no anybody else. That's what we say. But the prophet said, David, I know you're distressed. I know you're discontented. I know you got trouble. And I know you got all these bad dudes that are all around you. But don't stay in the cave. Go to Judah, learn how to praise him. And when David went to Judah, go to Judah. He said, don't stay here, but I need you to go to Judah. And when David went to Judah, Judah is the place of what? Y'all with me. Thank God you're with me. Because in Psalm 34, he wrote this psalm. He was distressed. He was discontented. He was discouraged. But Psalm 34, look at it. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. This praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Look at this. David writes a praise song in the midst of pressure. You need to make sure that you turn it up here. You need to make sure that you go from pressure to praise. The reason why pressure comes is to boost you into praise. David, don't stay in the cave. Come on out of the cave. Go to Judah. Come on and say amen. Don't worry. Look, you got a word from the Lord. Don't worry about if the devil see you going that way. If the devil's on your trail, don't you worry. Yeah, he may be on your trail, but when you get to Judah and give God some praise, he'll become your protection. David said, I bless him at all times. I bless him when I'm in distress. I bless him when I'm in heartache. I'm blessing him when they're after me. When they're talking about me, they're trying to destroy me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. I'm not going to stop praising him because I'm going through something, but I'm going to praise him the more because I'm going through it. I'm not staying in it. I'm going through it, so I praise him more. I magnify, magnify the Lord. I need to make the Lord big in my life. I need to be able to see him more than I see my problems. I need to magnify this God because I got a whole bunch of problems. Amen? Oh, come on and say amen here. I hear people say it all the time. I got 99 problems, but a praise ain't one. I can praise the Lord. I wish I had somebody here. I can praise the Lord. He says, look at this. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord, this is what I like, and I'm going to leave you alone, encamped round about them that fear, and he delivered them. There was a plan here. That's what I want you to see. God had a plan for David's life, so he had to get Ruth out of Moab and help her meet Boaz. He had to make Boaz's cousin say, I don't want her. Because she probably got too much, she got some issues. That's what he said. Because everybody knew her trouble. He ain't want no woman with issues. God will take you. Jesus took us. Boaz married her. David came down the line. The king of Israel that was a man after God's own heart. And while he had trouble, now he had already been anointed. He didn't feel anointed. Wasn't no confirmations of his anointing in the trouble he was in. He was in a cave, but a word came to the anointed. God will speak to his anointed. A word came to them. And when the word came, he came out of the cave, went to Judah, and wrote a song. And he said, I bless the Lord. Basically, David was still on the run. But he said, I'm praising God because he heard me. You ought to praise him because he can hear you. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. David remembered how God delivered him over and over. He had just left Abimelech who wanted to kill him. But David said, I'm going to fall out like a madman. Start jumping and doing all kind of stuff. David screaming and hollering and jumping. He was praising the Lord. I'm about to die here. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to go down praising. And Abimelech said, get him out of here. It's bad luck to kill a crazy man. He went to Judah and wrote that song. The greatest work will happen while you're in the trial. You want to see some great stuff happen? Go through something. Watch how powerful God move on your behalf. Watch how powerful you realize you are. David knew he was going through it.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana.